Hi, welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show, Season 4, Episode 7, No Place Like Home. This week, Emma finds out about the letter and Norman comes home.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm on the way. Woo! Home sweet home.
Little Motley Crue for you. What do you think about that?
Perfect choice.
Welcome. Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast.
I kind of want him, when he comes home next week, to be walking up to this song now.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a great guitar solo in the end of this song. Little Motley Crue for those young kids out there. Don't know about great jams of metal 80s. But I digress.
You school them right now.
I'm Dua Casey. I'm your host today. With me, to my left, and my favorite ginger, the lovely Julia Carley.
Hello. Girls are taking over the podcast. Girl on girl potting.
Yeah, a little girl on girl potting is
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here.
So, let's get right into this episode. Holy crap. This is when it starts getting really good. I think this is when it starts getting really good. You told me right before we started airing, you said, do you like this episode? And I said, yeah. And you kind of had this furrowed brow. Did you not like this episode?
I did like this episode. I love every episode of the show. Let me preface it with that. Mm-hmm. But I think after all, like, the heavy hits of this previous episode, mm-hmm. I think this one sort of had an aura of, like, a filler episode. Maybe not a filler so much as, like, a big setup episode for the big fallout that I'm sure we all know is about to happen in the next three episodes to the season finale.
I mean, I think you're exactly right with a setup episode. I mean, you can even take it back to the final sequence where that beautiful final sequence, this episode, by the way, was directed by our favorite main man, Nestor Carbonell, mm-hmm. who does play Romero on the show. But this final sequence of Norman, when he finally gets out walking up, did you catch that? Just like that long camera screen, and he walks past all of the people. He walks straight.
His exit.
Yes.
Yes.
That was a beautiful sequence.
Absolutely.
All the way down, and then they cut to the bottom of that iconic stairwell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Norma looks at him and she goes, "Welcome home, Norman." I mean, it was such a dream-like sequence.
Absolutely. It was very eerie.
So when you say filler and when you say a setup episode, that's exactly right. Because the honeymoon that Norma is in is now over. We can all say that this is probably the end of that honeymoon phase. That beautiful, you know, we opened on today's episode with, or yesterday's episode with Romero and Norma in bed together, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, we did.
I wonder what it's like to direct yourself in a love scene.
Carte blanche. Do whatever you want. You name it. You gotta be game.
That's gotta be awkward though, right?
You know, it's funny that we talk about it being a dreamlike sequence, his exit. It sort of feels like Norma and Romero have been in their sort of dream, whereas Norman has been in his sort of dreamlike state mm-hmm. while he's been incarcerated, and now that dream is about to be shattered for both of them when reality smacks them smack in the face.
Yeah, but I think it's funny too is with Norma's storyline, the whole common denominator that I think makes Norma's life chaotic is Norman. Because when you took him out of the equation, her life was really happy.
Oh God, yes.
She got married within mm-hmm. weeks. She now has this beautiful life. She's making curtains. She's, you know, making jam. She has
all this extra money she didn't know she had.
Yeah, that we will talk about. That is some crazy stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I think that with the previous episode with Norma, you know, really divulging her deepest, darkest secrets to Romero, he now has the avenue to divulge his deepest, darkest secrets, and he gives her all of the money.
Yeah.
Here, take it.
It'll help me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So now, you know, in the blink of an eye, her money problems are over. So it really does seem like Norman is the one constant in her life that makes her life as crazy as it is.
Well, since Norman's been absent, she's been living for the first time an honest, truthful life. Mm-hmm. You know, she has divulged every little secret. She hasn't held anything back. She's been living the life I think that she's wanted to live, outside of the secrets, outside of shadows, outside of hiding things and protecting him. Mm-hmm. She's just living a truthful existence. And the second that she finds out that Norman wants to come home, little teeny itty bitty lies start happening instantly.
Yeah.
You know, not just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit to Dylan, a little bit to Norman. And you can see that it's uncomfortable because it's been so freeing, I think, for her. But now that he's coming back, she has to start protecting all over again.
Yep. That is absolutely true. So let's, you know, let's talk about those little lies. And as soon as, I mean, let's start in with the phone call. coming back from the scene with Romero and Norma down at the basement right after he gives you the money, the phone rings, and just as certain, it's like, ring, who's calling? You know, Norman in that phone call, when he finds out, now he's found out at this point that that they are married.
Yes.
And he's calling, and he's like, I love
damn,
that.
Damn, paper mache. Gives it all away.
I will tell you how we talked at lengths and we predicted at lengths about what was going to happen in this scenario. You know, how much Dr. Edwards could divulge to Norma about his case, how he was going to get out, because we all knew he was going to get out. I never would have in a million years thought that he would be doing paper mache and just stumble upon an article in the paper. That was clever.
We all knew that picture was going to come back to bite her in the ass. We all knew that.
That, you know, I that caught me. I was very, very surprised. And I was like, you know, when you're in a writer's room and you're thinking about how you can kind of divulge secrets or how you can move forward a storyline. And I mean, I think that was really clever and a really brilliant move on the writer's part. And, you know, it just I thought that was great.
Absolutely. It just gave it a really interesting layer that I didn't see coming. I knew that he would see the picture at some point, and I had a feeling that was what was going to, you know, blow this whole thing wide open. But I like that little touch. Well, yeah. He's making a new Juno.
Yeah. A new Juno. Yeah. And we will get it.
We will.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about Juno now. This is a dog that had a huge part in season one.
Mm-hmm.
This dog was, you know, symbolic of, gosh, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. But this dog got hit by a car. And then when he was in taxidermy, he made this dog.
Yes.
So, and now Juno is made.
But not only did he make the dog was living to him.
Yes.
You know, it was a stuffed dog to everyone else, but to him it was a real, live, breathing, barking, tail wagging dog.
So then what do you think it means that he's now making Juno again in paper mache in Pine View, or Shady Acres as we call it?
Shady Acres. I think, I don't know if it's companionship or if it's a retreat or, you know, back to where sort of this all began. Because at first, when we first met Juno in season one, you know, I immediately thought the worst, that he was going to start killing animals. Like, you know, a lot of serial killers start that way, killing small, adorable, furry little creatures.
Uh-huh.
But instead, he never got that chance. It was taken from him, I feel like, by getting hit by the car.
Mm-hmm.
So then he just sort of reinstates it, if you will, as a fixture of his life, a companion, something that belongs to him and only him. So I don't know if he's recreating it to get that feeling again, because he started creating it before he decided he had to go home.
Yeah.
Before he found out about Norma. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I will tell you that I think that Juno is a mark of familiarity to him. You know, this was his dog. And in essence, this is his pet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, bringing back Juno, I just think is very appropriate. And mm-hmm. I loved just the little nuances of that entire scene, that, you know, his friend was doing a self-portrait, and everybody in there, it just shows that everybody else in there is a little bit crazy, and he's not crazy, he's normal, right? And he puts on this facade of himself being normal. Like, he can do this beautifully painted and beautifully, you know, artistic paper mache, and everybody in there is just kind of playing with wet paper.
Yeah.
So I think that that was just another way that he can kind of show his character. You know, when we had Nestor Carbonell on last season, they said that they always look for things on set to kind of play with, to kind of help show their character. And so I think that this was just another way. It's like, when you have an opportunity to show your character through different avenues, you want to do that. So I think that that was, you know, a great opportunity for him. But I just think the fact that it's Juno is, you know, is something to, and also to bring us back to Norma as well, because when Norma was making the curtains, they did a shot of the Juno, the stuffed dog.
Yep.
So how much time has passed there, you know, and now that she's kind of moving into Norman's room,
And yeah, she sure is.
And making curtains.
Furiously making curtains.
That Seriously. Is crazy. So I'd love to hear what you guys think about the symbolism of Juno. Go ahead and write in and comment. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. I don't have a laptop in front of me. I'm sorry Joe's not here today, but I'm sure that Shalom Joe there is there. I'm sure that Lounge Blogger is there. I want to say hello to you guys all. And then I do, later in the show, we do have a prediction from that was given from a fan, actually. His name is Frank Mann, that I thought was really interesting. I'm going to share that with you all coming up here later in the show. And then I want to talk about the money just real quick. Just okay. real quick, and then we'll get right into Norma and Dylan, and then the whole like dilemma thing, the note. We'll talk about, you know, and everybody pleading at the end of this episode. You know, Norman and Norma are pleading. You know, Dr. Edwards is pleading with Norman to stay. Isn't he scared? So we'll talk about all of that
in
a minute.
Thoughts on that.
But the scene with Norma and Romero and the money. Mm-hmm. Did you think that Norma was being subconsciously, not even conscious, do you think that she was being manipulating? Do you think that she manipulated that situation without her knowledge? Because she starts the episode by talking about everything that she wants to do. Mm-hmm. I want to do this. I want to do this. And then all of a sudden she's like, no, never mind. Never mind. I never asked it. Like, I don't have the money. I can't do it. I didn't ask for this. And then all of a sudden he pulls out the money. And I was thinking, this is really manipulative.
Everything she does has a touch of manipulation to it, doesn't it?
Really
Whether she
does.
Means to or not. But I do also think that she is a prideful woman, an extremely prideful woman who prides herself on being able to do things on her own mm-hmm. and fix things on her own without asking for help. So I think she's also in this adjustment period of having a husband as well. And I'm sure there's a side of her that doesn't want to get too comfortable or too dependent mm-hmm. on him. And she didn't know that all that money was hiding around. And it was just a small thing they were talking about. It was fruit trees.
Yeah.
Like, how much is that going to cost?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know how fruit trees. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that is a small fortune for fruit trees.
But I think it was also her pride. And she's like, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to need anything from you.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you for anything. I never want it. Like, and then all of a sudden she, you know, she pulls back immediately.
But it was also a moment of honesty, you know, this newfound honesty that she has that we keep on bringing up and telling him that, you know, that the business is failing, that they haven't really had any people staying at the motel, how she's way behind on all her bills and she's in debt. Like, mm-hmm. this is honesty. You married me. Here it yeah. is. This yep. is me. But trying yeah. to hide it because yeah. she is prideful.
Yeah. That is true. And they haven't had anybody staying at that hotel. I've been thinking about it. She, like, she doesn't even go down in the office anymore.
It's been a while.
It's just there.
It's been a while. It's been since Emma's mom.
Yeah. They could have the last person that stayed at that hotel never checked out. You yeah. think that'll be the theme from now on?
Oh.
Never stay at the Bates Motel.
Check in, you'll never check out.
Yeah. Welcome to Bates Motel. Oh. So Norman now has a one-track mind. His motivation this entire episode is now to get out. He's mm-hmm. found out through the paper that his mother is married,
yep.
makes a phone call. His motivation is to get out of that place. One-tracked, very similar to the way that Norma is very one-tracked.
Yes.
You know, her motivation this
manic.
Episode. Exactly. It's very similar how they are so deeply intertwined in each other.
Oh, God. It's interesting how their manicness manifests in different ways. She gets super busybody, you know, canning fruit and making curtains and mm-hmm. puts on this facade of everything is happy and fabulous and fun and my life is great. Whereas he puts on a person suit, you know, mm-hmm. a real life normal person suit. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely exemplified when he went to go check himself out for the first time. That kind of creeped me out when he went down to the reception desk uh-huh. and he was sort of given this blow of how you can't just walk out the doors. There's a procedure that you have to follow. Mm-hmm. And you can see it sort of wash over his face. He has this like weird little like twitchy mouth thing that he does every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then the person suit comes on. He goes, well, you've all been so very generous to me and taken such good care of me. So I understand. And this is when he hears this for the first time, the word stepfather and insurance. And that all washes over him and it becomes very, very clear, I feel, what he has to do to attain his one goal. Mm-hmm. That's the way he manifests his manicness.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love the way that Dr. Edwards handles Norman. I love the way, I mean, even You could start at the very... We opened this episode with Dr. Edwards bringing Norman breakfast in bed.
Yeah.
You know, he truly, genuinely cares about him. And I think that he's sincerely worried about him.
Absolutely.
As well. And, you know, but he's never unwilling to hear his side of the story. And he's never unwilling to, you know, understand him. And even when we cut back to the last part of the episode, when he's pleading with Norman right in front of Juno about, you know, aren't you scared, he's still like, I just think his choices as an actor are really, really brilliant. And I just think that he's playing this character really, really well. I would love to have him on the show.
He's fantastic. I want him to be my therapist.
Yeah. What were your thoughts about the whole Norman and Edwards storyline?
So, like I was sort of saying before, he became very focused on what he had to do. And this is when I talk about the person suit. Mm-hmm. And he had that little speech with Julian, very sinister speech that I'll sort of quote here, where he says, I may be crazy like you are, but I'm smart. I know how to make the world see me as normal, someone nice, someone kind. And you just can't do that, which is why you're never going to get out of here. That's what he says to Julian.
That's a good line.
And it's a great line. And he was so resolute in that line that it sort of, you know, it sent chills down my spine. So when we see these two scenes where he's pleading, one with his mother, to please let me come home, and there's tears in his eyes, and I can't even remember what he says to her, but, you know, when he says everything she says everything I've done for you, he goes, well, prove it, let me come home, you know, let me be home with you. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he really wants to come home. I believe it. And then when he's pleading with Edwards, and he goes, yeah, I am scared, but I'm glad I have you, and he sets up all these conditions. I still want to be with you. I still want you to be my therapist, but don't you think it would be better if I'm in the one place that makes me feel, with the one person who makes me feel complete and safe? And I was like, oh, I really believe it. Oh, wait a second. Yeah. He's playing us all.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, I think the Top Gun acting award of this episode definitely goes to Mr. Freddie Highmore. If we could give him an award right now, I would, because, I mean, he cried probably about 5 or 6 times in this whole episode, and he had one motivation, and he got it. He got it. At the end of the episode, he's down at that iconic stairwell, and he wants, now, why did he want to get out? What was his motivation?
His motivation for that? Well, I think it's if I can't have you, no one can thing for his mother.
Yes.
It's all about Romero.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, it was, I mean, it was inappropriate on a crazy level. We'll get back into that in just a moment. But I do want to talk about a little bit about, you know, the dilemma issue. And, you know, I talked to Joe a few episodes ago about how the whole dilemma storyline was a little bit boring to us. It's just a little, you know, there's something missing in it, and there's just something that's not there. But the first time I actually really felt for them was when they were on the bed together, and he said, I love you, for the first time. And that was the first time that I was like, oh, you know what? I kind of don't want this to unravel. But, you know, I love the fact that he showed Emma the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think this means for Emma's mother? Do you think that she's out of the picture? Do you think that...
Well, he did a little sleuthing.
Yeah.
You know?
a caper, if you will.
Perhaps a caper.
Yeah.
So her phone is turned off. Right? She's been evicted from her apartment. She hasn't paid rent in 4 months. All her belongings are being scattered to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we know. But apparently this isn't the first time she's done something like this, according to Emma.
Yeah. She seems to be a little bit of a flick.
A little bit of a flick.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Flaky. A little bit. We can call her that.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It doesn't bode well. And, you know, stupid Norma. She drives me crazy sometimes. Why can't she just admit, after everything that's been going on, that it's probably a bad sign that the last person to see her alive was Norman?
Yeah.
That they were alone together. Oh, come on. If you're going to admit it to anyone, to Dylan.
Yeah.
He's been there with you the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's hilarious that Dylan and, I mean, Norma and Norman's relationship is a lot like, they're a lot like two lovers in this whole episode. But Norma and Dylan's relationship is very much like brother and sister. You know, very, very much. And she's like, what are you talking about? You're making, I mean, by the way, that was my favorite scene in the whole episode, was the scene with Norma and Dylan when she's making the curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the ridiculous, I love how they took it to a comedic level. And the ridiculous nature of that of that scene when he catches Norma in a lie. And she's like, what are you trying to do? Catch me in a lie? And he was like, why didn't you just tell me? And she's like, I don't know. And she's, you know, lying all over the place. And she's being really misleading. But I just love the what they did with that scene. Because if you just take the words on the page, you could play it a million different ways. Mm-hmm. You could have played it really dark. You could have played it really, you know, mysterious. They played it funny. And it was great. And I think it put a lovely kind of splash of humor in what was a very dark episode.
Absolutely.
And it could have been a monotone episode, but I think that with those choices, they, you know.
Well, I love Norma when she's backed into a corner and she just starts screaming, that's what I said! Yeah. Or, yeah. I just wanted to get my freaking window fixed!
Yeah.
Like, I love it when she is brought to that point when she's backed in a corner. And it was the same sort of a moment when he caught her in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said!
Yeah.
But I'm screaming Norma.
It almost seemed that they tied that storyline with a little bow. That everybody's stopped looking for her. That, you know, Emma's come to the resolution that, you know what, my mother's just like that. She probably changed her number, probably didn't tell me. She never cared about me. So it doesn't look like anybody, it kind of looks like the storyline has ended. We've stopped looking for her. Because the only reason that Dylan was looking for her was because of Emma.
Yeah, but he knows a lot that Emma doesn't know when it comes to Norman Bates.
That's a good question.
So I think he's going to continue his sleuthing.
Okay. So let's talk about actually what Dylan knows. What does Dylan know? Dylan knows that Norman killed his father.
Mm-hmm.
Does Dylan know about Miss Watson? How much does he know about Miss Watson? See, this is the great thing, and this is what can make you go back and watch episodes and episodes and seasons, because what does, and we talked about this previously, what does Dylan know?
What does Dylan know? He knows that he has episodes, blackouts.
He knows that he turns into his mother, because that happened in the kitchen.
He knows that he has a violent side, very violent side.
Mm-hmm. They got into it once in the kitchen, a big one, and
big
Norman
one.
Doesn't remember any of it.
Yeah. They've been in fights more than once, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he knows for certain about Miss Watson. Don't think he knows about Bradley.
No, but he does know that Bradley was here.
Yes.
The very, very end of last season when Norma says to Dylan, hey, I think, you know, he said that he's running off with Bradley. It's ridiculous. Bradley's dead. And he's like, no, Bradley's not dead.
Yeah.
I helped her escape.
Yes.
So he knows, I don't think he knows about the disappearance of Bradley yet. And I don't think he's unraveled all of that. But I think, you know, Dylan is in the optimal position to kind of run this caper. And I wish that we could see Caper Emma again. The Caper Emma that we saw, you know, back in season one. And if Dylan and Emma can get together for this, you know, get together for a caper all, that would be great.
Yeah, I miss that Emma. I miss Emma with her oxygen tank rolling around the woods.
She was
spunky. She was fun. I mean, I get it. She's in recovery. But she's just kind of a downer.
Yeah, she's a bummer.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah.
I mean, her scars are cool.
Yeah.
But... Come on, Emma.
It really is funny that she, like, her oxygen tank played such a character.
Absolutely.
That now that she doesn't have it, it feels like something is missing from her. And I don't know if that's intentional and if that's something that they're going to do or if that's just something that, you know, I still think that they're going to kill her off. I'll save that for predictions. Ooh. She has to die. She has to die. It would be ironic if the only person that had a really bad disease is the only person that survives the show.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting twist. Oh, goodness.
All right. So where are we now?
Well, where are we now? So we talked about Norma and Romero. Gosh, I love them together. It's so sad that they're not.
I could just watch that show all day.
Yeah. I mean, he bought her a TV. I love that.
Let's talk about that TV for a second. He bought her a TV at kind of the most inopportune time. It does not go in that house. It does not go with Norma in the world that she lives in.
Exactly. It doesn't belong there.
But she's been slowly associating herself into his world as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's this big TV. Doesn't quite fit, but she's willing to make it work. But now that Norman is coming back into the picture, I believe she's going to regress from that world.
Oh, yeah.
And back into, you know, like we said, protection mode and little Susie homemaker, happy homemaker. And and that, I think that TV is just going to be a blaring reminder of how Romero does not fit in this picture.
Exactly. That's exactly the symbolism that I think it was supposed to give. You know, and I love that final conversation that Norma and Romero had, where Norma tells Romero that, you know, I talked to Norman today. He wants to come home. And I said that he could come home. And I love that Romero knows how to handle Norma. He knows how to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, thank you for discussing it with me. And he just, I mean, out of all the men in all the world, that was the most perfect answer. Look, I'm not a mother. I've never been a mother. I don't know how you're feeling. This guy's never had a decent father figure. I'm not going to get in between you guys. I mean, come on. It was all, he said,
he's
all the
perfect man.
He's so perfect. Oh my goodness. Can I, holy crap. It was literally every single perfect thing that you could say in a, you know, it's just, oh, beautiful, beautiful. Top Gun.
Top Gun.
So good. But which all, I mean, as perfect as he is, it's just going to crash down when Norman comes next episode. I think next episode is going to be really, really great.
Oh, I do too. I'm almost dreading it.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Norman and the pleading really quickly. So Norman and the level of incest, I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place right here. That's why I always miss Braz, because he always kind of keeps me on track, but I'm digressing a lot. But Norman does a lot of pleading. He pleads with his mother, and the incestual undertone of that conversation when he talks to his mother. The whole time that scene was going on, and I'll set it up by saying that before the scene, Norma was talking to Dr. Edwards, and Norma looked at Dr. Edwards, and we all got our question answered of whether or not Dr. Edwards can divulge the fact that Norman is turning into his mother.
Yes.
And he cannot. He cannot talk about that. But when he was talking to Norma, she said, do you want me to talk to him? And he said, I would really appreciate it, almost as a favor. So the whole time that Norma and Norman were talking, I felt like Dr. Edwards was watching.
Really?
Almost. There was almost, because it was in the lobby, and almost like either there were video cameras or something, but I felt like he wanted to see what their interactions were. Like, from Dr. Edwards' point of view, think about this. It's like you've seen Norman transition into his mother. He has to know that something has happened, and now he wants so badly to be with her. That has to be worrying for him. And yet he takes a backhanded position. Like, he takes I would think that you would want to watch that conversation.
Absolutely.
That you'd want to see what's going on. Well, so then what happened in that conversation? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
Well, I was like, what happened in that conversation was this almost incestual, you know, this wasn't a mother talking to her son that's in a mental institution. This was a jealous ex-husband.
Absolutely.
Or a jealous husband wanting to know, you know, what did he say to her? Are you sleeping with him? He answered our phone. He's staying in our house. Are you sleeping with him? Like, that's how inappropriate is that? And
so
the way that she fed into it, she cowered into it. Did you see her demeanor? She goes back and she's now defending her position. Like, all of this is normal. She eggs on his behavior, and which makes it this like crazy intertwined incestuous relationship. No, of course not. It's only for the insurance. It's absolutely crazy.
There was interesting. Well, going back to the Edwards and Norma scene, where, you know, she says, well, can I talk to him? He says, I would appreciate it if you would. And she says, can you give me some pointers? So I think she's sort of like building this armor. She doesn't know what he knows already. So she's trying to like build this armor to keep him at bay. He's obviously had all these breakthroughs with Dr. Edwards. So maybe he'll give her the right things to say. But what Edwards does, Edwards completely underestimates Norma and her need and desire to be with Norman as well. I think he's only seen it from Norman's side.
That's interesting.
He doesn't know that it is a symbiotic relationship, that they really feed off of each other, that they're really enveloped in each other. So I don't think he thought it was going to go the way it went.
He thought that she would help him stay in.
I think that was like, oops, damn it.
So now he finds out that, of course, it didn't go, and she's willing to sign him out and, you know, be his guardian, so to speak. So now his final play is to, we cut to the scene, with the dog, mm-hmm. where he's like, Norman. And I felt a little bit like Dr. Edwards was being manipulative. Did you feel like he was being manipulative?
First of all,
in that
I
scene?
Was really scared for him in that scene.
Were you?
Yeah, there was a couple moments where I was like, oh shit. Oh shit. No, not Dr. Edwards. No, not Dr. Edwards. Because, you know, there was a closed in scene. Like, no mm-hmm. one really knew that they were there. It looks like they're in this weird, like, basement thing. And it was very dark. And he's building his Juno, and, yep. which is just very representative of his life before he was incarcerated.
Yeah.
And I thought if he just pushes him a little bit too far, he's mm-hmm. going to turn really violent.
Yeah.
And I was really scared. But instead, he just turned on to smarts, mm-hmm. and he was very manipulative. And, you know, we talked a little bit before about him, you know, making these pleads and these tears, which are just crocodile tears, I realized mm-hmm. afterwards, although I believed him at the moment. I really did, because I've never seen him use his tears and his emotions that way. He's sort of channeling his blackouts and his emotions instead of just retreating.
Yeah.
Like he usually does. Now he's sort of channeling it and having a more control over it,
well, I
feel like.
That's how badly.
It's really scary.
Well, I think that's how badly he wants to get out. Like, whether or not he knows that he's being manipulative, his one goal is to get out and be with his mother.
Well, he said to Julian, I know how to, what did I say? I read it. I know how to make the world see me as normal, nice, kind. And those are the same things that Edwards told him to his face. He
said,
you are kind, you are sensitive, you are empathetic, you are an intelligent person.
Now, but that's exactly goes back to my question, was Dr. Edwards manipulating him? Because Dr. Edwards knows how to deal with crazy people. He's seen Norman and he knows more. And he walks into that room and he goes, I want to apologize, automatically giving Norman the upper hand mm-hmm. in that scene. I want to apologize. You're smart. You're capable. You understand more than my other. So pretty much giving him all of the power. Now he's saying, aren't you scared? He wants Norman to decide for himself that this isn't a good decision, because he's really putting a lot of trust into him. He's like, I'm going to allow this, and I'm going to say that you're not dangerous, when the fact of the matter is he doesn't know.
Well, he doesn't think he's violent. He doesn't know he's violent. He even did the whole background check and, you know, he was fine. He just thinks that he has these blackouts and turns into his mother.
Yeah.
But even Norma sort of dropped the ball a little bit there, and she goes, well, he's not violent. And he goes, well, I never said he was.
Yeah. But could Dr. Edwards read between the lines on those?
Probably. He's starting to, I imagine.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do think he went in there to manipulate him, to make the choice for himself, but to also bring him a sense of reality. He told him, you disassociate, because that version, the kind, sensitive, empathic, that version of you hasn't been capable of navigating your world. That's why you disassociate. That's why you turn into mm-hmm. your mother, or God knows what else you're turning into.
Yeah.
And hoping to like knock some sense into him, but he doesn't hear it. Yeah. He has one goal. Norman has one goal, and that's to get out.
And he achieved it. And so now not only are we taking him and putting him back in his comfort, in the comfort of his mother, mm-hmm. which is really not what he wants to do. He wants to go and break up his mother's marriage, because he doesn't believe that she's, you know, which is rightfully so. So now what is going to happen? What is going to happen now that Norman is back? What do you think is going to happen next episode?
God, I don't know. I'm panicking about it. I really don't want Romero to die.
Well,
I feel like that's coming.
There are a lot of things, and I will, you know, talk about. I mean, should we just get into kind of predictions and make it a long? Like, yeah. let's get into predictions, Stephen.
We're into them now.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
So I want to talk about this email that Frank Mann sent me. Frank, I want to thank you for sending this email, because I read it and I forwarded it to some people because I thought it was clever. Because, you know, when Carrie Aaron was here, she talked about the fact that they take very, very little source material from the actual movie. They probably watched the movie once. They use it as inspiration. And they have shocked us and surprised us in so many different ways. So Frank's prediction for season 5 is he doesn't think that Norman is actually going to kill Norma, because we all believe that Norman kills Norma based on what Norman says, right? It's Norman talking to the doctor. So what Norman believes is that he killed Norma. He actually thinks that Romero is going to kill Norma, and he's going to make Norman believe that he did it during one of his blackouts. I thought that was very clever.
And that is clever.
That is, I mean, it really, if you think about it, if you think about the fact that we only know that Norman kills his mother from his own split personality, then it really opens the door for they have the opportunity to do a whole bunch of different things with this. They don't have to go the route that we all, I mean, we've said this on the show time after time. We know where this is going. We know how this ends. Maybe we don't. And I thought that that was really clever. Thank you, Frank, for putting that in that.
Clever.
I thought that was great. You know, what are your predictions for next?
What if, I mean, this is just a crazy thought I just had. What if he, Norman, actually, you know, in a case of if I can't have you, no one can, he actually kills them both and she only lives on in the following seasons as a figment of his imagination?
That, ooh. Oh, so he actually kills them this episode?
Well, in by the end of this season, let's
that
say.
That would be, I would love that.
Or it could be even next season. I don't know.
In the book, in the actual book, Psycho, Norman kills his mother and his lover. And her lover. Yeah, that is how it's written in the book. So if they decide to go that route, that would be perfect. You know, I think that next episode, Romero is, I'm excited to see the scenes with Romero and Norman, because I think that those are going to be really fun places to play. Mm-hmm. I think that Romero is going to get to see Mother Norma or Norman's split personality, and I would love to see that reaction. Could
Absolutely.
You imagine?
Oh, it's going to be really creepy. But you maybe know. He can handle her.
Yeah.
Handle Norman Norma.
Oh.
Because he handles Norma really well.
He does. But
maybe
that's...
Norman's Norma will sort of relate to it.
Well, but think about that for just a second.
Probably
you're
not.
I mean, just think about it for a second when you have, you know, somebody that you know all of a sudden turn into the person that you're married to. For a second, it's like, I mean, that just kind of cracks the whole door open on the crazy.
Sure.
And it's a lot to take in. I mean, do you remember when Dylan found out first when Norman was in that robe?
Yes.
and he was making breakfast and he's like, "Where's Norman? He's sleeping." It's like that was, I mean, that's a heavy scene.
Yes.
It would be, yeah, that would be, I think that that's what's actually going to happen next episode, because we only have 3 episodes left.
Really?
They're going to move
so quickly.
They're going to move this along really fast. I love your prediction that Norman is actually going to kill both of them this season, and that they're only going to be, I mean, that means that Romero's going to be gone next season.
I know.
Which, you know, is not good. Do you think Emma's mother is going to be come back?
I don't know about Emma's mother. Emma did say a very interesting thing at one point. She goes, "I know what she's going to say. She's just going to tell me all these bad things about my dad." And I've always been a little bit wary about Emma's dad. He's always been this strange, mysterious character. Mm-hmm. I think he has a past, and that's going to come out in some form.
Yeah. I think that they just, I completely agree with you, and I think that they just develop that a little later. I feel like the way that he was during season one versus now is so different.
Very different character.
You know, he's a little bit more built. He's like, and so I definitely...
It's very Jason Statham-y.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like halfway through, they're like, well, what do we want to do with this character? What is his past? And then they kind of, you know, busted this wide open. I agree. I think that there is something that he is hiding from Emma.
Yeah.
That he doesn't want Emma to know about, that his mother knows.
Dylan's
that,
probably going to find out.
Yes. Dylan will find
out. Dylan's going to have to break all sorts of stuff to Emma.
Yeah. He is. I think that he is really kind of like the rock of this whole, of the show.
He's the only sane one.
He really is. And he is the, and I've said this before, Dylan is the audience's perception of the show. Mm. I think that when he notices things, he's the normal outlet. Right? So if he sees something, he's reacting the way that all of us as the audience would react, because nobody else in the show does. And everybody else in the show is, you know, so I think that that's my connection to Dylan's character. Do you think Caleb is going to come back?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah?
I hope so. I don't know in what capacity. I don't know if it'll even be in this season, but I guarantee he will be back, because he's the one thing that really rattles Dylan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he is also, and Dylan seems to have a trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unfounded, but he has a trust in him.
Yeah.
He believes what he says. And he doesn't lie to Dylan. He never has, that I can remember.
Yeah, well,
remember.
I think that trust has been broken, though. When he left, I think that there is a little bit of Dylan. Because you have to remember, Dylan has abandonment issues.
Well, yes.
His mother left him. His, you know, he had to track down. So I think the worst thing that you can do to Dylan is leave him. So that, I think that when Caleb left him, he lost a lot of trust there.
Yeah, but they did have that really sweet phone call. So maybe that helped.
Yeah. you're and I.
Maybe that helped out. Maybe he'll have to call on Caleb to help when Norman comes back, because he won't know how to handle it. Maybe he needs help, outside help.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah. 3 episodes left. Do you think we're going to see Chick?
No.
You think Chick's done?
I think Chick's done, which breaks my heart again because he was my favorite.
He was a great character.
I know he's really gross on the show, but he's so hot in real life.
All right. And then my last question for...
deep thoughts
for,
right there.
Yeah.
Deep thoughts from Julia.
Do you think Rebecca's actually gone?
I hope so. I'm over her.
Yeah.
I was over her from... I thought she was like a one-hit wonder. That's what I thought.
Well, she is.
And then she just kept on coming and coming and coming.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing here? I've got checks. You're like, yeah.
Okay.
She's overstaying her welcome.
Yeah, go to Indiana.
But, I mean, I just don't think that she's done. Especially when she looked at Romero and she's like, well, I have no reason to stay. Yeah. You know, I could see her just causing trouble.
Yeah,
I could.
Maybe.
But it did look like they closed out her storyline with a nice little bow.
Yeah.
Dink, dink, dink. All right. Well...
That's all I got.
Yeah, next week the boys will be back. I loved the ending of this, and I cannot wait for next episode.
Yes, things are gonna get heavy.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I love doing the show with you today,
Julia.
This
is fun.
All right,
girls rule.
Yeah,
boys rule. Yeah.
All right, Julia, where can we find you, honey?
Oh, my friends, you can find me on, not Facebook, on Instagram and Twitter with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. Follow me.
Yes.
You, my dear?
My name is Dua Casey, and you can find me on the Twitters, at Dua Casey, DuaKaissi, on the Twitters. All right, thank you very much. Join us next week when we will have the boys back, and we will be talking about more Bates.
More Bates.
More Bates.
Keep it coming.
Thank you for watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.